This is BPNRadio.com, your 24-hour internet prayer station, calling America to pray. A member of the Breakout Prayer Network. Let's pray, America.
Hey, this is Dale Gentry welcoming you to another classic interview here on BPNRadio.com. For over 3 years, I've had many special guests here on BPNRadio.com. So during the following hour, we're going to replay one of those great interviews. Please remember that the following interview has been pre-recorded and may include some dated content. However, well, you're going to be blessed by another one of our special classic interviews here on BPNRadio.com. Okay, it's a delight to have here on BPNRadio.com, here on the Wednesday Prayer Watch, Dr. Rodney Hart Brown. And Rodney has been a friend of mine since 1994, quite a while ago, and not long after he came to America from South Africa with his wife, Adonica, and their children, responding to a call to America. And since that time, they've made a major impact on this nation, leading major revival gatherings across this land, including a major event at Madison Square Garden, other places as well. Of course, they continue to travel in different nations of the world, as well as America. 1996, they founded the River Church in Tampa, Florida. So welcome back to BPNRadio.com, Rodney.
Hey, my brother, great to be back on with you. Blessings.
Well, I wanted to have you on today to talk about your new book, which is coming out very soon, entitled The Killing of Uncle Sam, co-written by your friend, Dr. Paul Williams. Tell me why you wrote this book.
Well, first of all, just to try to educate people on what the problem is, because many people, what I found out in America, people think that this is a Republican Democratic thing. They don't understand that America was taken over a long, long time ago. And the problem that we're dealing with here is a system that is in place. And this system is the thing that's been causing the problems. So while the leadership changes and presidents come and go, and the balance of power swings between Republican and Democrat, however, the thing keeps heading down a path of total destruction. Mm-hmm. And so basically, we had to sit down, put on paper, and I'm talking about historical facts. I'm not talking about conspiracy theory. I'm talking about facts. And so the book is 2,000 footnotes, and it covers 200 years of history. And it's actually a history book. And we start right with what happened in Southern Africa. I can actually read you the message, the read of I from the opening. And I said this, I said, many years ago, I've been asking the questions of how things work in the world, governments, banking, etc. The answers to my questions were not what I wanted to hear. I realized that people in leadership and those who guide them from behind the scenes were not altruistic as we would hope they would be, but rather they were greedy, ambitious, and destructive. This book, The Killing of Uncle Sam, was born out of a desire to explore the journey of how we arrived at this place in history. How do we change it? Where do we go from here? To understand history, you must understand people's motivation, not just their actions. After years of traveling the world trying to help people, I had a hard time of grasping how hard-hearted people in power, positions of power could be. I didn't understand how people could sell out their nations and their people just for money. Truly, the love of money is the root of all evil. Pride, greed, and power drive men to do the unthinkable. We have politicians who promise one thing and do another. It seems that many have sold their soul to the highest bidder. How does a legalized system of a private central banks go unchecked? The Ponzi scheme of Bernie Madoff was called the crime of the century, but it was not. The crime of all crimes is the legalized central banking system of the globe, where with the help of politicians, the banks fabricate money out of nothing and then pillage billions of people. The only consolation is that there's coming a day when everyone will give an account of their lives as they stand before Almighty God on the judgment day, with no lawyers, no lies, no facades, just them and the true record of their life. I come from South Africa. I always knew something was wrong. I just couldn't put my finger on it. I found out that the modus operandi of the cabal is to pit people against each other, and then while they're fighting, dispossess them of their wealth. Their wars and genocide as men fight over mineral wealth of nations, oil, gold, diamonds, and the list goes on. You'll find the book well documented with over 2,000 footnotes, and I believe the book will tell the tale of the past 200 years with a common thread throughout in greed and covetousness and the love of money. In this book, you'll find quotes from former presidents, prime ministers, mayors, other leaders trying to warn the people, even though for the most part the warnings were overlooked by the masses. And you can't see something if you don't know what you're looking for. From Cecil John Rhodes to the present day, nothing much has changed. Many who endeavor to expose the problem and to do something about it are silenced. However, it's time for the people to stand up and say enough is enough and draw a line in the sand. As far as we're concerned, we'll not tolerate these things while it's on our watch. We will stand, expose, speak out, and move to bring about a reformation. And we feel so strongly about this that if it means death, then so be it. Our founding fathers in the 56th sign of the Declaration of Independence were prepared to lose everything for the nation, their freedom, and many did. Out of respect for them, in our generation, we'll stand up. It's time. So that's the opening lines of the book. Mm-hmm. And, of course, we lay out the whole premise of what Kenning Uncle Sam means, and then we start with the part one is out of Africa, start talking about the vision of a Freemason, how Cecil John Rhodes was sent, funded by the Rothschilds, and his own Masonic roots. And he was actually the father of the modern wave of globalism. And then, of course, we talk about the African hellhole, which if you understand what took place in Southern Africa with Kimberley and the diamonds and the gold of the reef area, it's horrendous what took place. Multitudes of people died, and then we talk about how this was all funded by the Rothschilds, how that then made its way. Let me just say this, influenced by the occult, because these people were heavily into the occult, which people don't understand that, and the worship of Satan. Mm-hmm. And we talk about the Boer War in South Africa, what took place there, and then just their whole plan for world domination at that time. We talk about Rhodes scholarships. You know why? You've obviously heard the term Rhodes scholarship. Well, there's a reason for that. And then we talk about how they converted Carnegie, and then how the system came to America, and the founding of the private central bank, the Federal Reserve, and just everything from World War One, World War Two, 9/11, and even to the current day, and what the plan is. And this is so documented, you know, none of the stuff that people read in history was just an accident. All of the stuff is planned out by a small group of dominant men.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, normally I would be saying, well, how can you as a preacher, and you've been in America, only been in America since 1989, how could you be writing a book like this? But I remember two or three years ago, you and I going to our nation's capital, to D.C., and sitting down with my friend, Congressman Steve Pierce, and the two of y'all discussing, I was pretty awestruck how the two of y'all could discuss the economic situations in America. And I realized, even though I'd known you for a long time, I did not realize how well up to date you were on the history of our nation, which you have evidently studied for some time, and the present economic situation, and how that our nation, I guess, is in trouble economically when most people they may not see it coming. I mean, we're what, 20 trillion dollars in debt. Where are we at? You have in your book 200 years of American history and the legalized central banking system of the globe, but can we jump forward to where we are today? Why should people read your book? Where are we at today economically in our nation?
Well, I mean, we're in a very precarious situation. First of all, let me just say, as a preacher, it's not just a preacher. I came in 87, and then the revival broke out in 89. But I'm a citizen of the United States, and yeah, I had to raise my hand to face the Pentecostal Constitution. So then that suddenly, forget about preacher, that suddenly got me involved, whether America wanted me involved or not. They should never have sworn me in and made me a citizen. And then Jeremiah 1 and verse 9 and 10 said, the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, behold, I put my words in your mouth. See, I have set you this day over the nations and over kingdoms to root out, pull down, destroy, throw down, and to build and plant. So there's a job that the church has to do. If we jump over to the times that we're living in right now and see where we are. I mean, America's in such a crisis situation, first of all. And once people get the book and understand, according to Kevin Shipp, former CIA officer, anti-terrorism expert, he said, this book is without question the most accurate description of the deep state shadow government I've ever read. And he was high up in the CIA. So, you know, we expose everything of the deep state shadow government, what's running America, and why. It doesn't matter whether it was Bush, Clinton, or Obama. The country kept going because they're all part of the same group. They're all part of the same cabal, and everything's planned out beforehand. So God has obviously given America a last-minute reprieve with, and I know this upsets a lot of people, but because they wanted a Sunday school teacher, but God put a wrecking ball in the White House who's wrecking the system, in actual fact, setting it back probably already been set back about 20 years, and that's why they're screaming like a bunch of stuffed pigs, because they're upset. They know that their whole power structure is being shaken to the core. So, but we have to pray as never before. We have to intercede. We start a 24-hour prayer just for the nation and the president, for his protection, and that God would guide him and give him supernatural wisdom and let him stay steps ahead of the enemy. Is all lost? No, it's not lost. But there's some things that have to be done. The vulnerabilities of America at this juncture could be the Federal Reserve collapse the dollar, which would plunge America into anarchy. You can understand that. So that's one area of vulnerability. And then the second area is an EMP attack, which what we call these things of false flags, which I explain. We explain all of this in the book. And they would blame it on North Korea, which an EMP attack would knock out the electrical grid and basically bomb us back to the Stone Age. I mean, no elevators would work, no cars would work, everything electrical would be gone. Fried. Take us several years to get it back, and by that time, millions of people would be dead. So when you understand how deep state operate, then you understand these people care nothing for humanity, and they will stop at nothing other than furthering their own agenda. And so obviously they haven't done what they want to do, but that's why they're going to get desperate, and we're sitting in a place where they are desperate. They control the media. All the mainstream media is controlled. Mainstream media was taken over by Operation Mockingbird. We talk about that in the book, and everything you see on mainstream television is propaganda, and it's all lies, obfuscation, propaganda. So people say to me, well, there's so much to be done. What can one person do? I said, look, one person took prayer out of schools. One person started Planned Parenthood, which has been the death of now, well, I mean, they've murdered, what, 57 million people. So one person, guided by the hand of God, can do amazing things. And this, what I tell people is ask God what he would have you do. You know, Brother Dale, the fact of the matter is this. If people think their job is just to go to church and then earn a living and not be involved, they're smoking some of the legalized weed that have been legalized in some of the states.
Yeah.
The fact of the matter is this. We have to do something. Everybody. Somebody said, well, it's not affecting me. It actually is.
Yeah.
Affecting all of us.
Mm-hmm.
And so each of us have to do something. And in the book, we actually line out. I've got a whole bunch of things here in the epilogue called Raising the Dead. What do we have to do to get this, get America back? So I can run through that anytime you tell me. I'll run through a list of things of what has to happen. But I don't believe all is lost. I believe that we believe in God for another great spiritual awakening. So that's the main thing. Obviously, everything comes out of an awakening, like the first one in the 1700s, the next one in the 1800s. We need one now.
Yeah, we do. And that's what I'm praying for. I've been calling for that for many years in America. I believe it's going to happen. Yeah, I would like for you to go over that list of things. But, you know, I just have a prophetic word for you that I see you as the founder. I don't know if it's a now word or future word, but I see you as the founder of a news network that's going to begin to broadcast news 24 hours a day across America. And people will begin to see the news and listen to the news, and it's just going to be a remarkable thing. It's going to happen. Before you go over that list of things, I want you to talk to me about how it was. I know you've been into the Oval Office to pray with President Trump, and you know, I believe that we were within a whisper of a total disaster in America before the election. And I want you to talk about President Trump, if you will, for a few moments, and your visit to the Oval Office to pray with him. And then I want you, before you go over the list of things, to talk about the what you mean by deep state shadow government. What are you talking about, and what about your visit to the Oval Office?
All right. Well, this whole thing of deep state shadow government, I'll talk about that quickly. It's nothing new. And people really got to get the book, because it's a whole thread of money. You have to understand how this whole thing functions. It's not, this has been handed down father to son. Plus, you have groups like the Council on Foreign Relations. You have the Trilateral Commission. You have all these secret societies. You have all of these things that are going along with the CIA, which is, and I don't even know how to tell you, it's such a rogue operation that's created most of these problems coming out of World War II. And of course, I don't want to give, you've got to read the book. The book is epic, because it weaves everything together all through the years.
Yeah.
How the plan was to dilute America by removing the quota system in 1965 of immigrants. Mm-hmm. So instead of bringing people into America that were more for American way of life, they started bringing in third world people that couldn't care less about America. And this was all a plan to basically destroy the United States. The fact that we have ISIS bases in all the states, and all this is done on purpose. The draining of our companies, our corporations to foreign fields, hundreds of them were taken out, basically to destroy this country. So, there's so many facts here in this book. I wish, I just pray everybody could get a copy, and I'll tell you how to get one and even get it discounted at this juncture, because we're working with Barnes & Noble, and they've given us a good discount. I want to encourage people, you can pre-order it, and you can get copies for your friends, because this is an eye-opener, and I promise you this, everything is footnoted. Everything is documented, I'm going to be building a website to expand all of that. Even we've got video clips. Of course, you can't put that into a book. It's impossible to put video clips in the book. But so this whole thing of the deep state has been around so long. It's not just something new, and I promise you right now, it's not Barack Obama. It goes way, way, way back.
Mm-hmm.
And once you understand that and you see what's been in place, how they took over the education system, standardized education on purpose, dumbed down the American people, students graduating with useless degrees that mean absolutely nothing, trillions of dollars worth of student loan debt, how they took over the medical associations, the killing of homeopathic doctors, and how they're working with the drug companies, and we have people, our American people are addicted to drugs. They're under the control of pharmakeia, as the Bible says in the book of Revelation. That's what people will be like when Jesus comes. So all of this is by design. And then, of course, the whole nonsense of the war on drugs, which actually doesn't exist. There's no war on drugs. That's where they get their operation money for black ops. So, you know, It's like, oh, yeah, all these drugs, we've got to deal with the drug dealers. Well, then you're going to have to deal with corruption at the highest levels of government. Mm-hmm. So John F. Kennedy said this to the press in 1961, and I could read the whole thing. I'll just read the small portion that's in the book. He said, the very word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society. We as a people inherently and historically opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths, to secret proceedings. We decided long ago that the dangers of excessive and unwarranted concealment of pertinent facts far outweigh the dangers which decided to justify it. But we are opposed around the world by a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy that relies on covert means, expanding its sphere of influence, on infiltration instead of invasion, on subversion instead of elections, on intimidation instead of free choice, on guerrillas by night instead of armies by day. It is a system which has conscripted vast human and material resources into the building of a tightly knit, highly efficient machine that combines military, diplomatic, intelligent, economic, scientific, and political operations. Its preparations are concealed, not published. Its mistakes are buried, not headlined. Its dissenters are silenced, not praised. No expenditure is questioned, no rumor is printed, and no secret is revealed. And that's Kennedy talking to the press in 1961. So this, as you can understand, this is not something that just came about the last 4 years.
Right.
What people have to understand, not only did they standardize education, they took over control of the media through Operation Mockingbird. So they controlled Reuters. They controlled Associated Press. CNN is basically a front for the CIA. It's propaganda machine globally, which no one watches CNN. It's ranked lower than Nickelodeon. Mm-hmm. But they pay the airports to keep them on in the airports. So you think CNN's powerful? It's nothing. And if you watch CNN, you're an idiot. I mean, I'm sorry. It's a propaganda machine to push an agenda, and the agenda is anti-American, and it's a globalistic agenda of a one-world government, a new world order that President George Bush Sr. talked so much about and was in love with, the whole idea of this new world order that was going to come to pass. Well, I've got news for you. His new world order is being wrecked, not just here at home, but abroad, even in the EU, right now with Brexit, and Poland and Austria and many of the other countries that are standing up, drawing a line in the sand and saying absolutely not. So when we talk about deep state, it's a money system that's in place that could do a lot of things. I would actually cringe when I heard the president talking about Wall Street is doing great, because Wall Street is fake. The Dow Jones is a total fakery. And it's all fudging of numbers of corporations, some of them that are bankrupt, and they buy out the bankrupt companies, and the stocks go up, and everybody's happy. But that thing can crash overnight. They crashed it in 1929 at the Great Depression, and they can crash it again whenever they want to.
Yeah.
Getting back to the Oval Office, we were in Washington. You know, I've been back every year since when you first came to me. With those meetings that I was in 2014, mm-hmm. and I stood there and issued a restraining order and told the devil, you can't have America. And that was the restraining order issued in 2014.
Yeah.
We went back in 15, went back in 16, went back in 17. And so the last day of 2017's meetings was in July of last year. And, of course, we were invited to come to the White House for a day of meetings with different members of the administration and to ask questions. There was not many ministers, probably 25 ministers of huge mega churches. Probably, I would say, the majority were Baptists. And then, of course, my wife and myself, there were a couple of, one or two charismatics, one or two Pentecostals. But it was a great day of just having different members of the administration come through asking different questions just about, you know, the president's promises of what he said he would do when he ran. And just so for the person who's listening to this radio broadcast right now, about 65% of everything the president promised, he's already delivered in just over a year,
mm-hmm.
Which I need to make people aware of that, because you won't see that on mainstream news. But he has done he has accomplished 65% of everything he promised. And I will tell you that this administration is the most open to the body of Christ of probably any other administration that we can even look back in history and see. I mean, it's not just it's actually shocking to see how open they are to the body of Christ and to the church when you go back in the last one. And just so you know, I'm not yet pushing Republican. I'm not here pushing a Democrat. Both are wicked. They're two heads of the same snake. I'm just talking about the president, because he's actually probably neither. He's just the person that loves America. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so we were there after lunch. Jared Kushner came in, and we asked him questions. Then we said, "Do you mind if we pray for you?" And he said, "Sure." And then he left about an hour later. I was sitting facing the door, and in came Vice President Mike Pence, because we were in the executive side. If you know how the White House grounds, you have the executive branch, then you have the White House, then you have the Treasury Department, and they're all on the same grounds.
Yeah, I've led prayer there. I've led prayer there twice.
Correct.
Yeah.
So, so anyway, in came Vice President Pence, and when he walked in, I stood up. So everybody looked at me, wondered why I'm standing, and then they turned around and looked at me, and there was the vice president. So the vice president said, I was in the Oval Office, and he said, Jared came in and said, you guys were here, and I told the president, I'm going to come see you. And the president said, no, absolutely not. Bring them all down to the Oval Office. So this was a day that CNN had reported that Trump's administration about to collapse, and he's in a frantic, under stress. I mean, anyway, you know how the news is.
Yeah.
So we were ushered by the vice president down, walked out of the executive buildings, crossed the parking, the inner parking lot, into the West Wing, and then it hit me like a sledgehammer. Here I am, came to America 30 years ago, landed with $300. I'm about to walk in the Oval Office into the room with the most powerful man on the planet, and it was just, it's like a, I don't know how many things were running through my head, and I thought, Lord, I know you're up to something here. And so anyway, we walk in, and the president, when he saw everybody walking in, he stood up, and he raised his hand to the heaven and said, he said, here comes the real power, the power of God.
Wow.
And, that said something to me. So he said, come, let's take a picture. Let's have a picture. Come on, Mike, come get in the picture with all these men of God. And so he sat down, and the Lord told me to go stand behind him. You're not on his side, you're not in front. And I'm not even yet to be known by him. I'm a watchman on the wall. So if I ever go back to the White House or not, it means nothing to me. I'm doing my job from the pulpits of the land. Yeah. And so there's a lot of people jostling for position. You can't imagine the politics involved. Mm-hmm. In all of this, because every preacher wants to be seen doing something, and instead of just obeying God. But anyway, so we had the picture taken, and then Pastor Paula White came, said, "Mr. President, before we leave here, can do you mind if we pray for you?" And he said, "No." He said, "That'll be great." And then we talked for about 20 minutes, and he talked about a lot of things, just things that he was facing, and we talked about things that we had spent the whole day in discussion of as the body of Christ, what we can do to help bring about transformation in the nation, from the inner cities to the prisons to just everything. And then the president said, okay, so who's going to do the praying? He brought it up. He said, who's going to do the praying? So this was not like we had to remind him again that we wanted to pray. Remember, this was an impromptu meeting. This was not even scheduled. This meeting was not on plan. This is the President of the United States. You have to make it up. But people think, oh, when you see the President again. I said, it doesn't work like that. You don't just walk in to go see the President.
Right.
You have to be invited in, my friend. It doesn't operate like that. I got everybody calling me, can we get to see the President? I said, it doesn't work like that. That's not how America functions.
Right.
So anyway, Pastor Paula White, Kane asked one of the Baptist pastors that was with us to pray, and then she said, Rodney, would you pray? And so Idonic and I were standing right behind him, and if you remember the picture that went viral,
Yeah,
I saw the two hands.
I saw the picture.
That was my hand, my wife's hand, and then the others laid hands on him. And the president was fine with that. In actual fact, he made this comment: "Go ahead, put those hands on me now." So he believes in prayer.
Yeah.
And in actual fact, has more prayer meetings than a lot of pastors that I know. Which I know people find that hard to believe, but he actually does.
Yeah.
So has the deepest respect for God, and anyway, realizes that without prayer, he's finished.
Mm-hmm.
So I prayed. I didn't pray long. 57 seconds, you know. I prayed, "Father, be above him as a wall of fire, and all and evil come nigh to him. If the enemy digs a ditch for him, let him fall into himself. Expose every wickedness," you know, and just prayed the anointing. Thank mm-hmm. God for them, for yeah. him and the vice president, and for America, that God, you'll give us another great awakening. And just, it was a short prayer, but, you know, from my heart.
Yeah.
And I felt the anointing, and we finished up. And we said goodbye to the president, and we went out. Now, CNN said that's the day that everything was collapsing. Well, I promise you, the president was laughing. He was the funniest out. It was hilarious. You know, if he was collapsing, then I don't know. May everybody collapse like he's collapsing. So the media is always pushing some kind of an agenda, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
So this, to me, showed me the openness of the man, and actually humbling himself before God in prayer. And I was excited about the picture that we only released once the White House gave us permission, because you know, I was standing there with evangelical brothers who pray. They pray, but they're not into the laying on of hands. So that picture for me represented what we do as Pentecostals, are the laying on of hands.
Yeah,
and it represents laying on of hands. There was no picture of anybody that was praying, so it was a hands on one of the top leaders of the world praying and bringing God into the equation. And mm-hmm. that, for me, which was so significant, especially in a time when people that operate in the power of God are always mocked, which is another thing we talk about in the book, how they took over all the seminaries to a guy called Fosdick out of New York. And he was funded by the Rockefeller Foundation, and how they took over all the seminaries and produced a gospel that was devoid of power. And this was all by design, and to question the virgin birth, the blood, the cross, the resurrection. And so that's why you see all of what's going on. And even to the modern churches today that are seeker, and the ones that are against the power of God, against healing, miracles, signs and wonders, who called it strange fire, which, in actual fact, when they use that term, they actually show their ignorance about the scripture, because strange fire is when you pretend to have the anointing, but you have not.
Yeah.
Strange fire is not when you have the anointing and then a strange fire. Strange fire is when you are playing the religious game, pretending to have it, and mm-hmm. you have nothing.
Mm-hmm.
That's strange fire.
Yeah.
So they display the ignorance. But anyway, all this was done by design, to weaken the American church, to make it powerless. And so it's all in the book. So anyway, I mean, that was our trip into the Oval Office. Very humbling for me, very surreal.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I don't know if I'll get that opportunity again, which I'm not looking for. I went there. It was suddenly. It was something that was not even planned. And but I want to encourage everybody, pray. You know, don't watch the media. Pray. Pray for the president. Pray for our country. And yeah. pray that every plan of the enemy is unraveled. Every plan of wickedness, every agenda of the enemy is unraveled. And the way we pray is pull the wheels off of Pharaoh's chariots, wreak total confusion in the camp of the wicked. Mm-hmm. If they dig a ditch for your people, let them fall into themselves. Father, let them turn on each other like a dog on its own tail.
Yeah.
And let the church arise. Let the people of God
yes.
wake up. Let pastors wake up
yes.
out of their slumber. Let people
yes.
get vocal in the pulpits and give people an assignment of heaven.
Yes.
And there's people sitting in the pews that can actually make a difference.
I know.
In their location, in their county,
yeah.
in their region.
Yeah.
And, yeah, so...
Well, I hear what you're saying, and I believe that prayer is the key, and supernatural things will happen. And in just a moment, I want you to tell people how to get the book. But well, you know, it's called The Killing of Uncle Sam. In the natural, what can people do? Where are we at as far as the monetary system? What would you say to those who are listening today? What do we do about our money, our finances, our food? What do we do? What do we look at? How can we plan for the future?
Well, I mean, this stuff has to be undone at a governmental level. So we put stuff in the book here. You know, the auditing of the Fed, producing real money, end the endless wars, terminate the CIA, absolve the national debt, stop university funding, investigate the foundations, downsize the government, impose tariffs, which that's happening now.
Mm-hmm.
How's that? And he hasn't even read the book. Drain the swamp, overthrow judicial tyranny, uphold states' rights, halt immigration until you can verify that the people coming in here do not have ulterior motives, as in the overthrow of the United States. And then, of course, prayer and the Great Awakening, Great Awakening. And we end this by saying, Uncle Sam can be revived and restored to health, but only by one person, and his name is Jesus. So it's not. Wow. This is actually not a Christian book, if you understand. It's a history book, and there's one scripture in it. It's 2,000 footnotes, facts of 200 years of history,
mm-hmm.
but it overlays the problem of why we are in the condition we're in today. So people have to pray and ask God, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do?
Yeah, I agree. So I guess the question I was asking, what does people do about their money? What do they do about their bank accounts? What are we looking at as far as cash or credit cards or what counsel would you give?
The only problem is there's only 7% of cash in circulation in America. That means if every American goes to the bank today to draw their cash, it'll collapse the whole system. So, obviously people want to go buy gold and silver and all that kind of stuff. But remember, gold was confiscated at one time. We talk about that in the book. So if they confiscated gold one time, they can do it again. I think the crypto craze is wreaking havoc with the central banking system. And I heard that Estonia was about to take their whole country's currency and put it on crypto. So I think crypto is buying some time. I know many people have gone in some areas back to bartering and using a bartering system,
mm-hmm.
Which is worldwide bartering.
Mm-hmm.
As far as the banks are concerned, I don't trust any of the banks. I trust no bank, nothing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we utilize them just for facilities to move money in and out of, but I do not trust the banks as far as I can spit, and I can't spit that far.
Yeah.
So that tells me I don't trust them.
Yeah.
I don't trust the monetary system at all. So I think people need to be supporting the gospel, giving to the kingdom,
mm-hmm.
and learn to believe God for supernatural provision, know how to pray, not trust their investments, not trust, in all of their achievements. Because as you know, in 1929, when the crash came, there were doctors sweeping the streets the next day.
Yeah.
They were top financiers that were totally bankrupt. So I think people are going to have to be led by the Spirit. And I think God will show each person what to do. I think the big thing for the future is always food and water,
mm-hmm.
food and water, and not just any food, organic food and water that's pure. Which is another old thing we won't get into here on this broadcast. But and people need to win souls, man. Don't focus so much on the natural and worry about tomorrow. You know, one thing that's beautiful about it is Matthew. Tells us plainly. You know, take no thought for your life, saying what are you going to eat, drink, what are you going to wear. It says, for your heavenly Father knows the things that you have need of. If he cares for the birds of the air, which is, he looks after the birds. If he cares for the grass of the field, which is today and gone tomorrow, how much more will he not clothe you, you have little faith?
Yeah.
So the scripture says, seek ye first the kingdom of God mm-hmm. and his righteousness and his way of doing and being right, then all these things will be added unto you. Unfortunately, this scripture is not written just for, you know, right now. It was written, you know, way back when Jesus spoke it 2,000 years ago, and it's applicable for today.
Yeah.
It's got nothing to do with the Federal Reserve or the monetary system of the world. It has to do with our Heavenly Father. Remember when Jesus needed the tax money to pay the taxes, he never went to the money changers. He told Peter where to go fishing, and Peter went and caught the first fish, and there was a gold coin in his mouth. So I always say God's got a bank for his people called the Bank of Fish, and God's got a supernatural supply. So people need to learn that. And I'll just say, if you're listening here and you attack prosperity, you don't even know what you're doing. Because you can't believe God for provision and attack prosperity at the same time.
Right.
So it doesn't work out. You know, provision was made for us. Just even Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I shall not lack. And so I want to encourage people. I know all these things, and I'm not negative. I'm a person of faith, so I'm not negative. I believe there's a way out and a way through, and we're going to see it taking place.
I believe that. Dr. Rodney Hart Brown, my friend, it's been so good to have you on bpnradio.com, and of course this program will be replayed several times during the day here on bpnradio.com as we call America to pray. Speaking of prayer, I want you to pray however the Holy Spirit leads you, but tell the people how they can get your book, your new book coming out, The Killing of Uncle Sam.
All right. You know, you can pre-order on Amazon. You can go to Barnes & Noble. You can pre-order, or if you want the discount, there's a 20% discount, then call our ministry office, 1-866-85-RIVER. 1-866-85-RIVER, and ask for the Barnes & Noble discount on the book, The Killing of Uncle Sam. That's 1-866-85-RIVER, and ask the operator for the Barnes & Noble discount on the book, The Killing of Uncle Sam. And it'll be out on the 22nd of May, and will be available on many different platforms. And I believe the book will be an eye-opener for many people. It's documented. So it's not like we made it up. You can't make this stuff up. This is too, it's too wicked for one man to conceive this plan.
Yeah.
But you know that it is the devil's plan to destroy humanity. So, yeah.
And if they're on your mailing list, they get a free chapter. They can download a free chapter of the book, right?
Yeah, or they can do that right now by going to killinguncleSamBook.com, and they can fill out a deal there and then download the free chapter, which I believe the free chapter we're doing is called The Mysteries of 9/11, chapter 37. Mystery number one, the pyrotechnic substance. Number two, the stand down order. NORAD was told them to stand down. The visitor from Pakistan. The collapse of Building 7, how that just fell of its own accord. The missing rubble, insider trading, the search for Bin Laden. So there's a lot of, we just ask questions, mm-hmm. that's all. And then they'll download that chapter.
Well, I could talk with you for hours about this situation, but I'm just encouraging everybody to pre-order your book. We'll be promoting your book here on bpnradio.com. for the next several weeks as well. And I know you have something to say in the book, and I'm encouraging everybody to read your book and pray for another awakening in this nation. Before you go, Roddy, would you say a prayer, however the Holy Spirit leads you, and hopefully we'll have you back again, and before too long, talk about your book and what's happening, what you see happening here in America. So say a prayer before
yes,
you
sir.
Go.
Father, we just pray for every listener on the broadcast today. First of all, bless Brother Dale and his precious wife, and strengthen them and bless them beyond measure, we pray. But pray for every listener, that you would reach right into wherever they're listening now, whether in their car, in their home, and you would touch them in a special way. and that each and every listener would ask you, say, Lord, what do you want me to do? What is your plan for my life? And that I pray that if there's anybody that's not serving you like they should, that they will surrender their life to you in totality, in every way, and make you Lord of every area of their life. And that, Father, you would raise them up from obscurity, that you would use them to impact their world where they live, make a difference, and that you would open their eyes. And I pray that people's eyes would be open, they would see things others do not see, their ears would be open, they would hear things others don't hear, and that they would know things supernaturally, and that you would even speak to people in the night hours, speak them in dreams, speak them in visions. And Father, let this army across America of men and women full of the Spirit, full of the Word, arise up, out, shake off the grave clothes of religion, yes, and tradition, and yes, that which has disempowered them and kept them back and held, yes, them in bondage and in captivity, and even their feelings of inferiority and,
yes,
and things that others have said, that they would rise up and be bold in this hour. And Father, we just speak the Word over America, that this army of men and women are rising up, and that the tide is being turned even as we speak, that every plan of the wicked is being set back.
Yes.
And that, Father, you're using every person's hands and their mouth and their feet, and every person on the sound of my voice is being mobilized by the unseen hand of the Holy Ghost to do your purpose and plan, that America will be saved,
yes,
one more time, and we will have a great awakening, and the harvest of souls shall come in, and every house shall be shaken, from the White House to every house,
yes,
to the schoolhouse, to the jailhouse,
yes,
to the outhouse, whatever place,
yes,
the penthouse, the crack house,
yes,
will be shaken by your mighty hand.
Yes.
And we thank you for it, and we give you praise,
yes,
and we give you honor. Lord, thank you for having mercy on,
yes,
America,
yes,
one more time. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen and amen. Rodney Howard Brown, I just want to say before we go, thank you for coming to America. You've made a tremendous difference. You have stepped forward, and you've been a man that's been able to make transitions from one season to another. I've been amazed at how you've been able to transition from one season to another, and I believe that is going to continue in divine order. Thank you for being on today. I bless you in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Brother Dale. Blessing.
Okay, bye-bye.
You've been listening to BPN Radio with Dale Gentry, your 24-hour internet prayer station. Tell your friends around the world to listen to this hourly broadcast as we pray for a revival in America, another spiritual awakening. Remember, as America goes, so goes the world. BPN Radio is sponsored by you, their loyal listeners and prayer partners. To donate to this network, click on the donate button on our website at www.bpnradio.com. Remember that your contributions are tax deductible. Tune in at the same time or any time, day or night, to pray with Dale Gentry.
Hey! Come into the workplaces, come into the schools, come into the colleges.